Well, good morning. We're on glide time today, right? So we're sort of sliding into the service. It really all is a time for worship, isn't it? Good to be together. I still feel it's a bit like church, though, with all the chairs facing this way.
I should have spaced them a bit different, though.
Yeah. I could turn around and go behind them. I think there's still one or two that are lost and making their way. Oh, here's Mike. The car marshal. Yes. Oh, wonderful. It's good to be together. And this is an interesting little tradition that's developed over the last couple of years or so for the church, isn't it? It's pretty neat. So we're going to do the best we can to sing outdoors, all right? And thank you, Cynthia. But before we go there, the first one is Alleluia, by the way, on your service sheet. A huge thank you to Bob and Merle. I mean, we're going to say thank you all the way through, but isn't this a stunning place? And you can see that they've actually done a little bit of work. In spite of being told not to bother. Wow, it's beautiful. And by the way, we promise there'll be summer here today. Is that true? It will be until 1 o'clock and it'll rain. So, still summer. Just the weather might not be good. I'd like to pray as we start. God, we thank you for this time that we can be together. We can fellowship around your word with each other and enjoy food together, and Lord, to be the church at this time. So we ask for your blessing as we gather in Jesus' name. Amen. So let's give thanks. Hallelujah. Give thanks to the risen Lord. And you can stand or sit or kneel or... If it's out of your comfort and habit, but I'd like to encourage the idea of actually coming and joining a home group. And if there's not enough room in the three that are running at the moment, we'll make another one. Spending time, I know it's quite a commitment to do. Right, folks, there's plenty of chairs. If you don't like the front, you can take the seats and go around the back. Yeah, take out the front row. That would be a good idea. I'm feeling very close to people here anyway.
Good.
So home groups are not just a good idea, they're actually a way of really grounding some of the things that we talk about in terms of faith issues and life and stuff like that. So I'd encourage you to get to join one. So we can take opportunity now to give our offerings to the Lord's work in this place. And remember, He loves a cheerful giver. Somebody get that taken care of. Thanks, Hamish.
I'll get rid of the chairs.
Wonderful. Thank you for the strength that you give us in our bodies, the ability and agility of our minds to earn money. And Lord, as we bring these offerings to you as a way of honoring you, we pray that you'll be pleased with them. And in Jesus' name we ask this. Amen. Thank you. Okay, the birthdays. Anybody had a birthday we can sort of celebrate together this past week? You'd confess to one, Ross? Congratulations. We're allowed to ask how old you are?
You're allowed to ask, keep asking.
It was a dumb question, I know.
On Facebook, you're probably already old.
Facebook. There you go. On Facebook.
Got it.
You
can always guess.
Congratulations. Anyone else had a birthday we acknowledge today?
It's going a bit wide, but I had a new grandnephew born on Friday, and he's called Arthur Thomas Wilson. His brother is called Edward, and they said they'd have no more king's names in their family. They seemed forgotten about.
That's going wide, but excellent.
That's to Bevan Wilson. Locals know that he was brought up where I now live.
Right. Oh, well, let's... Let's sing the song, shall we? You can remember that.
Celebrating with you, to Jesus be true.
And of course, we mustn't forget certificates and things to brag about and acknowledge how good God is to us. I think we're going to be enjoying some bragging from Jeff.
Come on.
He caught six fish that long.
Oh, wow.
Well, thank God.
Yeah. Anyone else? Any from school?
I've got something to be thankful about.
Yes.
Our wee grandchild, Kira, was playing on the bars at school, and she thought she'd go down the pole, but her hat caught on a nut at the top, and she would be still hanging on, but she slid down the pole. Fortunately, the hat was of inferior quality, and school hats, and it had a string that went around the neck, and unfortunately the string broke, and she ended up with a wee burn mark just on everything.
Very thankful for that.
They covered the nuts if anybody wants to know what that is.
Right. Cool. Well, anything that anyone got anything to share that God has been up to and has been good to us? Sometimes just blah, you know, nothing much happens. That's okay too. I was told that once. What's wrong with blah?
What's wrong with things we can't see?
Yeah. Nothing wrong with that.
Thanks to everyone for praying for me with my arm. I've actually lost quite a bit of pain in it. I still don't quite know what's going on, but I'm trusting it's good. Mm-hmm. I can move it everywhere, which I shouldn't be able to.
Okay.
But I still got to go for an MRI and just find out how bad this tear is, which they've done. So keep going. I'm trusting that it's going to clear together.
Yeah.
I'm also a scaredy cat. I don't want to be again.
A big lineup of us like that, I'm sure. Wonderful. Excellent.
You should be thankful that in the Rotorua Presbyterian St John's Church, it was very sad that it burnt, but great that nobody was, no lives were lost.
True.
And reminds us that the church is the people.
It is. It is the people. Absolutely. Well, thanks for reminding us of those things and sharing together. Well, Judy, you're going to bring kids talk to us. Been getting your creative things working together. And
yes, well, I need a towel. I've got some here. Do you mind just, if you stood up here, the others can see at the back. And would Hayden like to come up or not? You're looking after a wee nephew there, a wee cousin. You're in charge, Sue, Donna. After Nathan. Well, perhaps you could stand up here for me. Would that be all right? Yeah. Oh, Mum there. Okay, so this morning our service is about our family, and this is our family. Apologies from Steve. We've got friends staying from Nelson, so... but this is our family. You are our family. And the passage I'd like to read this morning says, Christ brought us together through his death on the cross. Okay? The cross got us to embrace, and that's the end of the hostility. Okay, so it has been things in the past or family stuff, it's to end because Christ has brought us together again. Christ came and preached peace to you outsiders and peace to us insiders. He treated us as equals and he made us equals. And I've got two young people today that are equal in our family, even though they're a bit smaller than some of us, aren't they? So first of all, what I'd like us to do is stand up for all the people that are related to Hayden and our church. So Hayden, these are all the people that are related to you. We haven't got grandma here today. Right, so these are all the people that are related to you, Hayden, and that are part of your family, aren't they? That's pretty special. And I wonder if they'd like to pray for Hayden. John, would you like to pray for Hayden? Because he's a family member of your family and of our church family.
Would we just pray for Hayden and we just pray for him as he grows up, that he'll become to know you. And we pray for his safety too on the way through and the adventures that he'll get up to. And pray that his mum and dad and brothers will travel around.
So Hayden, that's your blood family, but this is all your family. This is your church family that have been praying for you and caring for you. Right, Cynthia, would those that are blood related to Cynthia, would they like to stand up? And those that actually pray and value Cynthia in our church, would they like to stand up? So Cynthia, even though you haven't got a family like you have back home in Kenya, this is your family here. And all these people pray for you and value you and our family. Leanne, would you like to pray for Cynthia for us?
Well, God, we just give thanks for Cynthia and the delight that she is, her smiley face and just everything about her, Lord, that she is really special amongst us. And Lord, we just pray that you bless and you grow her. And you watch over her in her years ahead, Lord, that she too comes to know you in all fullness. And Lord, that she would just see you working in her life and give her that that peace and knowing that you are with her. Amen.
So thank you, you two, and remember that in Jesus' your equal in this family.
Wonderful, thank you. Thank you to everybody that took part. Cool. How are we going for singing? We're going to sing a couple of songs. And I am the church, we are the church, we are the church together. So, thanks, Cynthia. Cynthia.
In keeping with our theme today of our church family and the different ministries we have, I'll read the words of this song. We are a family in love, gathered here together. A family in love, bearing witness to our God. We believe in God the Father. We believe in God our Saviour. We believe in our strength through the Spirit. So we dedicate our lives to living in power of the Mighty One who saved us, the Mighty One who bought us, the Mighty One who led us to this hour. The different ministries that we have within our church leads me to choose the song Take My Gifts. We'll sing that one now.
Thank you.
Thank you. Something a little humorous. Is that all right? Because we're on about families today, I thought I'd choose one like this. The efficiency expert concluded his lecture with a note of caution. You do not want to try these techniques at home. Why not? Asked the man from the audience. After years of not paying attention, I suddenly noticed my wife's routine at breakfast. The expert explained, she made lots of trips to the refrigerator, the stove, table, cabinets. Often she carried just a single item at a time. So I asked her, hun, why don't you try carrying several things at once? It'd be much more efficient. Well, did your suggestion save much time? The attendee asked. Actually, yes. The efficiency expert responded, it used to take her 20 minutes to get breakfast ready. Now I do it in 7. And so he should. A lot of people around are bewildered, I think, about the church. Is it relevant? Does it really work today? See a bunch of people going inside a building and they're in there for an hour and a half, and then they come out, climb in their cars and go away, and we never see them again till another Sunday as we're driving past. And what on earth is it all about anyway? Inquiring minds want to know. So this morning, I thought it would be good just to have a little brief look, not too long, about what the church is. But here's a summary. When the church looks like what Jesus created the church to look like, the church will accomplish what Jesus designed the church to accomplish. You may not agree with this, but I'm committed to the fact that that God's plan for the church is that we should be one big happy family. We should be the happiest people on earth. We should be models to a world that is craving for community. And if you don't believe me, just look down at the local hotel on a Thursday night and the boys are hanging around a few brown ones and community happens. Everywhere you go, you'll find people who crave community of some kind. And I believe it's God's plan for the church to be real community. So I borrowed with, I think, permission, hasn't responded yet, I hope it's all right, but with an acrostic called LAUGH, L-A-U-G-H. And it stands for these things: love, acceptance, unity, generosity, and helping. And I just wanted to touch on those because I believe they're the things that make up a happy, healthy family. The family unit is in trouble in our society. Did you know that? I mean, seriously in trouble. So the church should be a model of what a happy family is all about. Not always are we happy. That's true. Are you always happy in your family? I doubt it. There are always challenges to work through, relationships to sort of tweak a little. There's always stuff going on. But we can learn to fight fear. Fearly, I should say. So, this is a quote from Rick Warren. There are many analogies for a Christian disconnected from a church. A football player without a team, a soldier without a platoon, a sheep without a flock. But the most understandable and biblical picture is that of a child without a family. That family is the church. God does not want his children growing up in isolation from each other. So he created a spiritual family on earth for us. A Christian without a church family is really an orphan. That's one of Rick Warren's. So here's my scripture text for today for us to think about. Long ago, even before he made the world, God loved us and chose us in Christ to be holy and without fault in his eyes. His unchanging plan has always been to adopt us into his family by bringing us to himself through Jesus Christ. And this gave him great pleasure. That's from from Ephesians chapter 1, verses 4 and 5. A few months ago, when I first came to the church, I asked people at various times what they thought the church was. And one young person in our church said this. I think I got the quote right. She said, it's a family to come home to. A family to come home to. I thought, that is an incredibly good picture of what the church is. A family to come home to. A safe place. Is the church always a safe place? It should be. It should be the safest place on earth. So, the big idea. God's plan for this church is that we should be one big happy family. So we need to laugh. Everybody laugh. It's the laugh after the laugh that I appreciated most. Characteristics. Love. Number one. L. Laugh. L stands for love. You and I can be lovers. We're coming up to Valentine's Day. Just a hint. On the 14th. Lovers. What are lovers? This is what Jesus said. When Jesus says something, you need to take notice. He said, a new commandment I give to you, that you love one another. I should just about pack up now and leave. You know, that should be the sermon for that. To love one another. As I have loved you, that you also love one another. By this all will know that you are my disciples, if you have love for one another. The only way people are going to know that we're disciples of Jesus as if we have love for one another. How do you have love for one another? Glad you asked. There's a lot of helpful advice in the book. There's some practical stuff to do. Love is patient. Love is kind. It's long-suffering. It's not jealous. It doesn't keep a record of wrongs. What's love look like? Juan Carlos Sotier. Anybody heard of him? He was an Argentinian evangelist, and I remember him saying in the early days of revival in Argentina, and he was saying something he did in the church. He got up and he said, this is my sermon for today. Brothers and sisters, love one another. And then he sat down. You heard that one? It's an oldie but a goodie. And then the next week, people were wondering what on earth. That was the shortest sermon they've ever heard. Next week they came and he said, my sermon for you today is, brothers and sisters, love one another. There was then a meeting called by the elders and the deacons of the church about his ability to preach. And I think he said it was the third time he stood up on the Sunday and said, brothers and sisters, it's my sermon for today. Brothers and sisters, love one another. A few had left the church at that time. They didn't appreciate the preaching, but they finally got it. They finally got it. He says, I'm going to give you something more when you do that one. Mm-hmm. And I think there's a bit of truth to that. So love, it's a biggie. It's a biggie. Demonstrating it, showing it, it's something that we actually do. By the way, the rain's coming at 1 this afternoon, so we'll be fine. A, in laugh, stands for acceptance. He says, so accept each other just as Christ has accepted you, then God will be glorified. Acceptance is a tough thing, because there are people in church families that we don't like, that we don't get on with. So accepting people, because you're not going to like everybody, and you're not going to get on with everybody. Is that real? It's just real, isn't it? It's life. But acceptance is a different thing. We should be accepting. Here's the story. His name was Bill. He had wild hair. He wore a t-shirt with holes in it, blue jeans and no shoes. In the entire time I knew him, I'd never once saw Bill wear a pair of shoes. He became a Christian while attending college. And across the street from the campus was a church full of well-dressed, middle-class people. One day, Bill decided to worship there. He walked into the church, complete with his wild hair, t-shirt, blue jeans and bare feet. The church was completely packed and the service had already begun. Bill started down the aisle to find a place to sit. By now the people were looking a bit uncomfortable. But no one said anything. As Bill moved closer and closer to the pulpit, he realised there were no empty seats. So he sat down on the carpet right in the front. By now, the tension in the air was thickening. Right about the time Bill took his seat, a deacon began slowly making his way down the aisle from the back of the sanctuary. The deacon was in his 80s, had silver grey hair, a three-piece suit, and a pocket watch. He was a godly man, very elegant, dignified, and courtly. He walked with a cane, and as he neared the boy, the church members thought, you can't blame him for what's going to happen. How can you expect a man of his age and background to understand some college kid on the floor? It took a long time for the man to reach the boy. The church was utterly silent except for the clicking of his cane. All eyes were on the deacon. By then, they saw the elderly man drop his cane on the floor. With great difficulty, he sat down on the floor next to Bill and worshipped with him. Everyone in the congregation choked up. And when the minister gained control of being choked up, he told the people, what I'm about to preach you will never remember. What you've just seen you will never forget.
Yeah.
It's a goodie, isn't it?
Yeah.
Jesus modelled acceptance for us by devoting much of his ministry to those who were outside the buildings of the church and the synagogue of the day. He hung out with tax collectors for the Romans, prostitutes, lepers. They were his congregation. They were the people he loved to be with. And what made the Pharisees really angry and mad was that these are the people that deliberately flouted the Jewish laws. And Jesus didn't ask them to change. He just enjoyed being with them, it seems. He had a reputation as a friend of sinners. You know, we need to accept people. The Pharisees charged that Jesus was a glutton and a drunkard, a friend of tax collectors and sinners. That's a good reputation. He would not get a position as minister of any church. His CV would not look very good, you know, with that written on it, I'm sure. There were classes in Hebrew culture at that time. There was the upper class, which was a very small group. There were the middle class, which was a very small group. And there was this huge lower class of people. And even though Jesus belonged to the middle class, he reached out to people of the lowest classes. This is what it says in Matthew 21:31. I love this. It's scary, but I love it. The tax collectors and the prostitutes are entering the kingdom of God ahead of you. Now that's a little bit of a strong statement. You would not like to hear that if you're a religious person. Acceptance also means that we forgive people just as God forgave us. So that's the A. You, in love, unity. See how good and pleasant it is when brothers and sisters live together in harmony. It is like fine scented oil on the head running down the beard, down Aaron's beard, running over the collar of his robes. It is like dew on Mount Hermon, dew which comes down from Zion's mountain. This is where the Lord promised the blessing of eternal life. So the third plan was that we might live in unity, not uniformity. Unity is a different animal. It's a different thing. But it's so important that when Jesus prayed in John 17 that the church might be one, that we might be one, he was talking about the oneness that he had with the Father and with the Spirit, the Trinity. That important, that kind of unity. That together, a unity of purpose. And so often we try to get the uniformity thing sorted out. Everybody needs to behave like us. Everybody needs to look like us. Everybody needs to do the things I'm doing. That's not unity. That's uniformity. Walking in unity means that we refuse to gossip, listen to gossip about other people. When we talk about others, let's talk about them in blessing so that when they, because it'll get back, you know, and when they hear that we've been talking about them, they're going to be so encouraged. That's a neat way to deal with some of those issues. The coming of the Holy Spirit on the day of Pentecost signaled the ushering into the church of unity, a unity by the Holy Spirit. For those of you who want to do a bit of deep study, go back to the Tower of Babel and do a contrast between the coming of the Spirit and the Tower of Babel, when humankind were building a tower of their own importance, and there was God came in and really messed up the language thing. And so in the church, we've still got languages that are different, but there's a language of the Holy Spirit that unites us together. Oh, that is the unity. Doesn't matter where you go on the planet, you meet up with another Christ follower, there's a witness of your spirit, isn't there? Anybody agree with that? That it's an amazing unity. It doesn't matter, there's all kinds of other things that you could have an argument about, but there's a unity of the Spirit. The next is G, generosity. It says this in 2 Corinthians 9. God gives seed to the farmer and food to those who need to eat. We know that to be true. God will also give you seed and multiply it. In your lives, he will increase the things that you do that have his approval. God will make you rich enough so that you can always be generous. I like that. Your generosity will produce thanksgiving to God because of us. This is a gift that this church in Corinth were going to send back to the mother church in Jerusalem. And so God was really bragging on them in this way, you know, as Paul was saying, about their generosity. I want to say this about this church. It's a generous church. A generous church. Bless you. So, the big happy family, the fourth plan is that we would be generous. Generous. We are blessed to be a blessing. Freely we've received, freely we need to give. Number five, H, and laugh. Everybody laugh. Just checking. Helping one another. This is from Romans 15. Those of us who are strong and able in the faith need to step in and lend a hand to those who falter, and not just do what is the most convenient for us. Strength is for service, not status. Each one of us needs to look after the good of the people around us, asking ourselves, how can I help? This church is an incredibly helping church. And you know, rural people generally anyway help their neighbor. True? You just do. It's what you do. But there's an intentionality that I find about this church. Love you for it. How can I help? That's exactly what Jesus did. He didn't make it easy for himself by avoiding people's troubles, but waded right in and helped out. It got messy. It gets messy when you start helping out people. It's not all squeaky clean and nice and sanitized. It gets messy. I took on the troubles of the world, is the way the scriptures put it. So, fifth plan, one big happy family, is that we would help one another. So, look for ways to laugh this week. Okay? Love, acceptance, unity, generosity, and helping. Well, we're launching out into 2017. We kind of have, but this is sort of the official mark of that. And I wanted to do something that Judy did this, I think, in 2015, maybe, in a message or something. Just looked at all the ministries that this church had been involved in. I thought it would be good to visit that again and affirm all of us who are involved in some way or another. So the vision that Knapdale Waitaka Church has is this. Can anybody help us with the little logo that we have as part of the church? This will be a test. This is a test. Anybody, apart from the one who writes the newsletter, you and Joe, just be disqualified. Anybody? Oh, are you kidding me, right? I'll help you with that. It says, helping people to know Jesus Christ in all of his fullness. You remember it now, of course you do. That's a wonderful little logo. But how do we do that? How do we actually do that is more the point of whether you know it or not. How do we do it? Well, I just wanted to share these three things quickly. Mission is what God has called us to. Vision is what it looks like, and strategy is how we get there. God didn't need to know that. But here's a few things that were involved. Normally I get us to stand, but today I just don't sense it's the right thing to do. So I just want to affirm these things and then pray. If you're among these, and you are, bless you right from the get-go for your involvement. Because so often we look at ourselves at church and think, oh, gee, the church not doing much. Au contraire. Listen to this. Some of you are involved in lives. Some of you are prayers. Some of you are involved, or at least one of you is involved in choirs. I think it's redundant now, Mike, but you were. Bible in schools. Teaching Sunday school. Involved in city council. Serving as elders. Serving on session. Worship leaders. Ushers, people that take care of things on Sundays in terms of offering and so on. Managers, morning tea people, mowers of lawns, Red Cross, mission support, Camp Columba, motocross club leadership, four-wheel drive leadership, parenting groups, being a mum and being a dad. That is one of the most demanding occupations on the planet.
Amen.
Yes. I thought Jono would have been shooting to his feet on that one. Gypsy days. Rest home visitation. Why don't trust? And incredibly generous. Those of you who had a vision for that and the ministry of that over the years is quite something. Business involvement, overseas and local. Bible study leadership, working at the Mona Christian Bookshop, work situations. Now, has anybody missed out? Did I miss out anything? I could have.
Well, we've got principals.
Principals?
Yeah.
School teachers and principals. Missed that. Very good.
Cleaners?
Cleaners.
Yeah.
Did I miss that?
Oh,
no. There is a choir. Yeah, I missed cleaners. What's that?
There is a choir.
Choirs? Yes. Orchestra?
Industrial chaplain.
Industrial chaplain. I need to revise the list.
You've got emergency response people here.
Emergency response people, firefighters. You know, the church has been guilty of a heresy over the years of sort of putting a big separation between that which is sacred and that which is secular. And we're being program driven as the church, that if we're not doing a program, nothing much is happening. The amazing thing is, listen to this the amazing thing. When someone is a Christ follower, the Spirit of God lives within them. And what they carry where they go is God. And whoever they touch, there's an impartation of something God into them. So, you know, there was a traditional thing way back there, I don't know when, that says, you know, we're to come out and be separate from the world, and we're to pull up the drawbridge, and we're to be separate, and there's the rest of those guys out there. No, that's just not biblical or right. No, we're to actually be in the world, but different from it. How do we be different from it? We're carriers of the fullness of God, and we are those people who demonstrate what it is to love, to be the church. And so, what about Sunday morning? Well, that's kind of like, I describe it as sort of a coaching session for the team going out there doing the stuff. That's what it's like. It's a time for us to worship together, to be encouraged by being together with one another, and go out there. In our church in Christchurch, we had our logo. Our logo was that Sundays was the church in celebration, and the rest of the week was the church in community. And that's the church. I love the church. Jesus loved the church. The church will never get put down. It's God's plan for community and for getting the stuff done about his kingdom work. So I commend you for being the church. And as we go out in 2017, wow, let's enjoy being the church together. let's not concentrate on the programs, but let's concentrate on the person. And everyone we touch is going to be affected because you are part of the church. So what's a two or three of us might just bring the church before the Lord as we pray for each other, and then we'll go and eat. That sound like a plan? 12:30
Well, we want to thank you for who you've made us to be in the church and all surrounding us. That, Lord, so often you plonk us in the middle of something and we want to run away from it, but help us to know that you've put us there for a reason, a really good reason. Sometimes there may be tough situations, but help us to know that you've put us there to share your fragrance with others. And Lord, as we go about our days and our weeks and wherever we are, all the different jobs that we all do, whether it's at home or whether it's outside of home, Lord, that we will be such a blessing to people that we come in contact with, that you give us those insights, and even to people that we need to go and meet with. Someone on the street that maybe just needs a smile and someone to say hello to.
Mm-hmm.
Lord, help us to be aware. Help us not to have our eyes so focused on ourselves and our stuff that we don't see what you're showing us.
Lord, I thank you that you make yourself visible to us by this book. Lord, that we can behold your goodness. We can behold your grace. Lord, we can behold the acceptance that you hold out there. And today, Lord, let us understand and know the layers of that as it is revealed and open to us. As the church here this morning, let us see again your goodness, your greatness, and your love and acceptance. Lord, that we grow up into you to be all that you've desired and know we can be. That we are the church in this place and in this community. We are the community of God to release that acceptance and love for ourselves, Lord, and for those around us. Lord, let us be so aware and so thankful as we are this morning. Thank you for your love, for your greatness and your goodness. Thank you, Father.
Oh, gracious Father, I just thank you that one of the aspects of the gospel is the opportunity for a fresh start. And we just pray that this morning, Father, as we look into 2017, that we look for opportunities for a fresh start. That we will serve God by only labor now, the lives of the blessing, that we are our God and God. And so we just pray for you throughout this year.
Share something that I really feel God is just being saying to us. That he wants to make us uncomfortable and take us out of our comfort zone.
You do. Speak up. If you turn it down, speak up.
Just as everyone was praying, there was just this thought came to me, and I believe it's from God for all of us this morning, that he wants to take us out of our comfort zones and make us uncomfortable. So we're ready for what he might put there.
Thank you for coming this morning, Ethel.
I've been sitting here feeling uncomfortable since the young ones are up.
Yeah.
This young girl here, I was watching her, and I could see the Spirit of the Lord in her eyes.
Yeah.
And I felt God was saying about her that I've called her from a very young age. Very much for her to do. And your people here are to pray for her, because shortly she is going to release her in a way that will help this church be what God desires it to be.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just quite special.
Mm-hmm. Oh.
Could I anoint you?
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
Could I anoint you to do that?
Mm-hmm. Did I tell you that the church is also a dangerous place? In a very good way, it is a dangerous place. It's not a rest home for saints. It's a battleground. It's a battleship for sinners. That's what it is. I'd like to... that's pretty special, Cynthia. You'll remember this day. Mike Epinelli says some interesting things. I just want to conclude our time together here in this part with this. The power of the church is not a parade of flawless people, but a flawless Christ who embraces our flaws. The church is not made up of whole people, rather of the broken people who find wholeness in a Christ who was broken for us. That's pretty potent. But that's our benediction today. Flawless people being embraced by a flawless Christ. Flawed people, I should say. Let me get that right. Well, God bless us together. It's been good to be together. Anybody agree with that? Yeah. Well, it's only just partly this show here, because just enjoying food with one another is part of what we do. It's a fellowship. Every culture on earth meets together and has food together as part of what it means to embrace and to welcome and be together. I love our Maori tradition of food. After you're welcomed onto a marae, and you know, the greetings are gone on, the clock doesn't matter, by the way. You know, in the beginning God created time, and the Pākehā created a clock, and he's been chasing it ever since. So in Māoridom there's no sense of that. Once the welcoming has happened and the hongi line, and we press foreheads together, and breath mingles with breath, some of it is garlic tainted, but that's the way it is. You become one, and then you eat together as a demonstration. That's a cool thing. So I'm not going to recommend that you hongi this morning unless you really want to. Just kidding. But eating is part of it. So let's enjoy one another's company and enjoy each other as the church. And those that are not part of us, who are normally part of us here, Lord, bless them where they are, we pray. Those have got to work. Some things have got to continue. So God bless us.